Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Tom Fortino is in our studio, the principal at Alpha Wealth Group, to talk a little money with us, what with the markets making news again. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well. The market's up, so...
You That's walked in, market was up, you were off at 1.900 yesterday. We closed the day off about 7.25, and we've gained most of that back.
Yeah.
Yesterday, here's why I shouldn't do your Sunday morning show with Elise Glink, because I said maybe we've reached a tipping point where the reason that the markets were off yesterday may have been concern about the pandemic resurging, mm-hmm. and that's not going to change overnight. People have pretty much made up their minds about the vaccines and the masks, and the Delta variant is, you know, decimating Southern Illinois and Missouri and places like that. So maybe we're in for a downturn mm-hmm. here, and then we're up 500 points the next day.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a confluence of a number of things, but yeah, the Delta variant obviously was the catalyst for making the market drop as much as it did. You keep in mind, too, sometimes you have this high-frequency trading, which then it just kind of, things start to snowball. But it did, as you said, it was down over 900. It came back a little bit, and then today it's up again. And I think still the factors that drive this market are overwhelming, and they're gonna rule the day at the end of the day.
But you don't – did you know yesterday that we were going to get most of it back today?
No.
Or did you know the day before? Did you know the day before that it was going to fall 700 points?
No.
And
no one does.
But does that bother you about your business, that you are all subject to things that you mm-mm. can't even predict?
Well, that's always going to be true in this market, right? You want to keep a focus on longer term. I know that's somewhat cliche, but one day does not a trend make. And so you really have to consider things like, if you're looking at the market, you always want to look at fundamentals. What do I mean by that? Earnings, okay? You know, we've got all this pent-up demand. Look at all the cash on the sidelines. All of these things really portend for this year, for the most part, up market. Now, could that not go away? Could it not go that way? It's always a probability guess, right? You know, it's one person buys a stock, one person sells it, and they both think they're a genius. So,
do you like the price-to-earnings ratios for a lot of companies out there?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about price-to-earnings ratios. Okay, you know, it's a multiple. What price are you going to pay for the earnings of a company? And it's if you look at overall, you know, the PE of the S&P right now is pretty high. The forward PE is maybe 23, 24, which is not crazy. It's still a little high valuation. But you have to be careful when you're looking at individual stocks, right? The PE of GM is going to be a lot different than the PE of Apple or the PE of Tesla, because tech companies have a higher price. You're paying a higher price for growth names, right?
Overall, though, I thought I've been hearing that the PE is pretty high.
It is.
That it's inflated.
It is.
And so that should be cause for concern, shouldn't it?
Well,
if you're talking about the fundamental health of the market, maybe it's a little hot. Maybe it's due for a correction.
Well, you know, there's going to be, in any given year, there's going to be a couple corrections. Even if you look over this year, two or three times the market's dropped 2 or 3 or 4%. And it's like, okay, what's, you know, the 10-year is going to go to 2% or more. Well, 2.2%. Well, today it's at 1.3, right? And so we just have to be aware, you know, when we look at the market, these things. So, you know, the PEs are a little high, but you also have to keep in mind, as I said, the cash on the sidelines. And then the acronym TINA, what's the alternative? Where are you going to put your money?
Well, sorry, the acronym TINA means?
There is no alternative. Sorry about that. right, where are you going to put your money today for growth? You know, if you're in a bond, if you're in fixed, you're technically losing money. You're not keeping up with inflation, right? So technically, you're going backwards. You can say, well, I'm getting 1.2 in a 10-year.
I'll bet you don't want to see the Fed change interest rates, though.
Well, I think ultimately, here's the problem. We've normalized a lot of these things, right? I mean, if you think about it, John, how many years, it seems like we used to get 4 or 5% in a bank account. Today, you get nothing, and you have a 10-year at 1.2, and we think that's, you know, okay, I guess. Maybe some people don't, but there are a lot of distortions in the market. Yes, they do concern me. No one knows when that day is going to come. You know, with all the debt that we have, the interest rates that have been held basically at zero for over 10 or 12 years or more. These are things that I'm not happy about, but we have to, you know, we have to play the hand we're dealt. So,
and I also, we'll pause here, come back and answer this question. Are we kind of in a unique place in time, though? Because It seems like some of those things are waited for something to happen. But then, yep. like you said, you've got all of this money on the sideline. You've got the government still pumping money into the economy. Mm-hmm. So maybe the good run is going to last longer still. Tom Fortino's in our studio. Do you have a question, comment, an observation about what's going on? He's the principal at Alpha Wealth Group. Talking about the markets today, off 700 yesterday, back up 500 today with Tom Fortino, principal at the Alpha Wealth Group. And Tom did not know that the market was going to fall 700 yesterday. What kind of money manager is he? And that it was going to go up 500 today. Probably nobody. Does anybody do that? Make predictions? Tomorrow's a black day. Today it's going to bounce back entirely.
There may be somebody that makes predictions, but I'd like to see their record on that. You know?
It's funny because there are books that come out, and I see the titles. I don't tend to interview these authors or even read the books, but there have been some in the last 3 or 4 years, before the Trump presidency, through it, and now, and they'll say the worst financial crisis in our lives is coming, and you need to do this or mm-hmm. that. And I mean, people seem to know what they're talking about, and they predicted a previous thing,
mm-hmm.
and they're never right.
Right.
It's funny that there's an appetite, though, for those sure. gurus to tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about it earlier, John, about all of these things that are happening, how interest rates have been artificially kept very low, all this money's being printed, all this debt that we have. You know, when is that proverbial last straw going to break the camel's back? I don't know. You know, are we going in this unsustainable trajectory? I think so. But again, you just can't predict that. So for now, you just have to make it simple as the average investor and have a portfolio that makes sense for you.
But if you're an older investor, you would be then going to the sidelines a little bit, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be putting them in safer, less aggressive products?
I agree with that completely. Sidelines, I guess, is a way to look at it. You know, it's just like right now. You know, if you have keep it very simple for the average investor. You can have a 60-40 portfolio. I know that doesn't sound too exciting, but you can have 60% in growth, 40% in fixed, which are bonds. Now, you know, most people are going to say, why would I own bonds? Well, because bonds are the low volatility. You're not buying them for growth. But yesterday when the market was down 700 points, if you're a 60-40 or 50-50, half of your portfolio is not participating in that downside. So you have to be happy with some of the participation in the growth to mitigate some of the risk.
Do you day trade when it falls 700? Do you throw some money in something?
Well, I usually don't react on a single day. If there's a trend lower and I think there's a buying opportunity, you know, then you can put some money to work for you. Sure.
And then where do you put it on a day like yesterday?
Well, I mean, you can look at individual sectors or you can buy individual stocks. Now, for example, yesterday, over the last week, energy's been down double digits. Now, it was at one point the best performing sector year to date. So if you feel that's a buying opportunity, you can buy that sector. XLE, we talk about sector exchange traded funds. You look at some of the cruise lines and airlines, they were down over 30%. So these are things where, again, you want to take a look at the fundamentals. Doesn't make sense for you, and maybe you can put some money to work.
That's a tough to predict sector, isn't it? The cruise and travel industry. One day it's up, one day it's down. One day everybody's going to Europe. The next day they got a bad outbreak in Italy or Germany or someplace, and everybody doesn't want to travel.
It is tough, and it's true with any sectors, right? If you look at the 11 sectors in the S&P, energy, industrials, materials, financials, healthcare, consumer staples, whatever, you can go down the list. You know, if you're going to have a sector position rather than own the individual stock, look, healthcare may be some opportunity there too. If you want to buy healthcare, again, you can buy the ETF and own that sector, but you only have a small position in it, right? 3-5%.
Of your portfolio.
Of your portfolio.
Is there a sector that you do especially like or one that you are staying away from right now?
Well, I mean, the easy one, I think, is technology. it's just not going away. You can buy XLK. That is the technology sector. You know, or if you own the NASDAQ, we were talking about the NASDAQ earlier, John, 50% of the NASDAQ is in technology. So if you feel you want to be overweight technology, again, there's an easy way to do it.
Okay, technology, good. What's an ETF that you aren't interested in right now?
Well, I don't know. I was going to say there's only a couple that are up, right? We're up over the last 5 days, which were utilities. I would be a little careful with some of the utilities. I don't know if I would own that right now. But, if you can own the whole market, that's what I'm saying. Most people are just going to own the whole S&P, right? And so hopefully, overall, it's going to be up.
What if I read the newspaper and I go, wow, all these billionaires are going to space? They're talking about commercializing space travel as a way to get to different places on Earth. No one's going to Mars. So maybe that's a good thing to put some money in right now. Do you agree? And is there a fund that specific?
There are funds that specific. That's, again, one of these, why we talk about exchange-traded funds very often when we're talking. There is one for, there's a couple for that. If you go to ARK Funds, ARK, this Kathleen Wood has been this, she's had these funds that have, these innovation funds. There is a space exploration and innovation fund in there. And I wrote down the, yeah, ARKX. ARKX is the symbol. So you can own that exchange-traded fund in your portfolio. And so there's more to it.
There's more than that. The mind reels. Is there one for marijuana?
There is.
Yeah.
MSOS. It's a cannabis.
I should have got into that one. Really? I mean, you know, I should have seen, you could see that coming.
Yeah. You still can get into those. There's some ETFs that have languished recently, but I think there's some buying opportunities there.
Still. Because isn't that the trick, though? I mean, so sure, an ETF helps you maybe narrow right in on a sector of the economy that you think is going to do well. But even then, you want to have guessed about that before everybody else. It's no surprise that marijuana businesses do well. But I think some of us in Illinois are surprised at how well they've been doing and that mm-hmm. they've sustained it past the first year.
Yeah.
I wish I would have been in front of that thing 2 years ago mm-hmm. or whenever they first became available.
Well, that's really hard. You know, you may have those home runs every so often, right? But it doesn't mean there still isn't some upside growth or they continue to grow, right? It's just like any of these.
What about the gaming industry?
What,
are there ETFs for that?
There are. There's ETFs.
You're just making this up as you go, aren't you? There aren't really these ETFs.
If you go to, and you can go and look these up, they're exchange traded funds, just like when I mentioned energy, but you can also buy drillers, refiners, exploration, you know, in all of the material, you know.
Oh, really? Not just the energy sector, but a specific component.
They call them subsectors within those sectors.
Well, then you
right?
might as well pick stocks. I mean, but even that would be maybe too fine a point. So if I think drilling is where it is because the reserves are running out and we need to get new oil or gas,
uh-huh.
I'm going to get a drilling company.
Right. You could
or sector.
Yes. You could, no pun intended, drill down a little bit and buy that sector.
That was
that
a pun
sector.
That was completely intended.
Yeah, I guess it was. But no, there's subsectors that are available. Again, you can do all of these things. And that's why, I talk about exchange-traded funds because for the average investor, it's really an opportunity to have a little less risk, but expose yourself to areas where you think there's going to be some upside growth.
You always talk to us about tax implications because that sounds like half of the bread you butter.
Yeah.
It's not just investing people's money or helping with that, but
right.
then how do you guide them on taxes? Any new thoughts about that these days? What's the latest? Do you think that tax rates are going to go up or down or somebody's going to get particularly hit?
Well, I would say, as I've always said, you know, the simple thing about the Roth IRAs, always take advantage of that. It's $7,000 per person if you're over age 50, $6,000 if you're under age 50. That's money that will go tax-free forever, no matter what the tax rate is on at zero. You can do that every year. So if you think about, we just talked about whether it's a cannabis stock or space exploration, if those stocks double and triple over the next 10 years, there's zero tax on those. This is where it can be very powerful as part of your overall plan because now you're combining the investing piece with the tax piece. And I think that's a good thing. So that's how you want to start to look at how you approach these things. Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, and then own stocks within those to try to get growth and get it all tax-free.
We'll do the Wintrust Business Lunch in an hour from noon to 1 here on WGM. We always get questions, especially when Terry Savage is in, the financial mm-hmm. columnist, about the student loans.
Yeah.
And everybody's wondering if they're going to get $10,000 worth of forgiveness. Do you hear anything about that? Do you know what the status, or do you have a guess on whether or not the Congress or the president are going to wipe off $10,000 worth of student debt?
I can't predict that one. I think they're going to try to get at least a small piece of it. I had someone in my office the other day talking about all their debt and was thinking this, you know, wondering and kind of keeping their fingers crossed.
Some people have six figures worth of student.
It's amazing.
It breaks my heart, and I feel really bad for them, particularly since these are decisions maybe they made when they were 18,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody's parent. Just because you're a parent means you're real smart about this either. I'm tortured about whose responsibility that money is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But there was a great article on community colleges in the Wall Street Journal about how there should be this pivot to using those as part of your as part of your education. And
we need
really
to
good.
Get those things. They need to be sexier. I mean, community yep. college, we used to call them junior colleges when I graduated from JJC, and I think people don't like that now. They want to call them community colleges, but it's not the U of I, and it's not Northwestern, but doggone it. I got a better education at JJC than I did at my four-year school.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay. Hey, Tom, our time is up. Tom Fortino is the principal at Alpha Wealth Group. What's your website over there?
AlphaWealthGroup.com.
It's nice to have you come into the studio and help us
Thank
out.
You.
You're
Thank
on Sunday
you.
Morning?
Sunday at 6:30.
With Elise Glink.
Yes.
It's good to hear you guys. 6:30 to 7 o'clock talking money.